You're listening to
WGXC Accra,
Hudson Catskill,
90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear three previews of musical performances coming to town soon. This Sunday, jazz legend bassist Luke Stewart performs at Opus 40 in Saugerties. This Saturday, Philadelphia-based guitar legend Chris Forsythe comes to Red Hook. And Florist, the Palinville-based band, performs at Tubby's in Kingston on August 26th. We'll hear from them, and we'll hear an excerpt of Justin Maiman's interview on WGXC with the band Florist from Palinville. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Sarah Rizzo reports for News10.com that the New York State Supreme Court August 16th ruled in favor of former Governor Andrew Cuomo in his lawsuit against the now-defunct Joint Commission on Public Ethics, or JCOPE. Cuomo sued after the Ethics Commission ordered him to repay the $5.1 million earned from his book deal in March. Quote, Jacob issued the approval for the outside activity, then unilaterally determined wrongdoing, then withdrew the approval, and finally imposed a disgorgement penalty, all without the opportunity for a due process hearing explicitly provided for under the procedures set forth in executive law, unquote, according to court documents. In November 2021, Jacob voted to rescind its approval for the former governor's book, American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. The book was reportedly written at least in part by state employees. Cuomo accused the Ethics Commission of violating his constitutional rights. In its ruling, the court granted the former governor's motion for voluntary discontinuance, meaning he does not have to repay the book deal. His motions to dismiss Jacob's counterclaims were also granted. Jacob held its final meeting in July, and officials are now nominating members for the new Commission on Ethics and Lobbying in Government. Read more about this story at news10.com.
ABC reports that the New York prison system is no longer allowing anyone to send or bring inmates care packages. Instead, only items purchased through third-party vendors are allowed. So no home-cooked meals or homemade cookies are allowed in prisons anymore. Only items purchased from a few select companies. Caroline Hansen, a single mother of two who works as a waitress in Long Island with a husband serving a life sentence, said, and I quote, when I first started bringing him packages, he said he loved avocados. He hadn't had them in about 20 years, end quote. Saying her husband's prison cafeteria serves bananas once a month at most, she added, and I quote, what breaks my heart is I take for granted having a banana with my yogurt. Imagine never being able to eat a banana, end quote. The new rule went into effect this month. Prisons in New York are also blocking most letters sent on paper. Instead, they are scanned by computer, with prisoners getting copies. Authorities say a few letters were soaked in drugs. Wanda Bertram, a communications strategist at the Prison Policy Initiative, said food is a, and I quote, nutritional nightmare, end quote, and said some incarcerated people rely on care packages to keep a healthy diet. Read more about this story at the ABC News website.
The Daily Freeman reports that the State Cannabis Control Board has awarded another 19 farms a conditional license to grow adult recreational use cannabis, including one in Columbia County and one in Greene, according to board member Jen Metzger. Approvals were granted on August 15th to HV Agricultural Corp. in Columbia County and Hidden View Family Farm in Greene County under the state's Seeding Opportunity Initiative. The conditional licenses allow the farms to cultivate products that will be sold in dispensaries owned by justice-involved New Yorkers by the end of this year. The Cannabis Control Board also approved 15 adult-use processor license applications, including one from Jenny's Baked at Home Company in Columbia County. Those licenses are available to already licensed hemp processors, allowing the development of products such as tinctures and edibles from THC extracted from the plants. The application period for those licenses will continue through August 31st. Quote, to date, the total number of farms approved statewide for conditional adult use cultivation licenses is 242, unquote, Metzger said. Quote, we have received over 300 applications, unquote. Conditional licenses issued are valid for 2 years and allow cultivators to grow up to 1 acre of cannabis outdoors or 25,000 square feet in a greenhouse. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Pat Ryan has raised more campaign funds at a faster pace than his congressional opponent. But Mark Molinaro has more cash on hand, the latest campaign filings show. Democrat Ulster County Executive Ryan and Republican Dutchess County Executive Molinaro are competing in a special election now through August 23rd to fill the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's 19th congressional district seat. Delgado resigned to become lieutenant governor. Overall, Ryan has raised $1,608,964 in 4 months, while Molinaro has raised $1,593,761 for his campaign that started in the middle of 2021. After spending, Ryan currently has $316,522, while Molinaro has $600,136. Both Molinaro and Ryan are in the middle of two campaigns. Ryan is also in a primary election now through August 23rd against Moses Mugalusi and Aisha Mills for the newly drawn 18th Congressional District. Mugalusi has not posted any campaign finance information, while Mills has raised $40,167 and has $6,704 left. Molinaro already has the Republican nomination for the new 19th Congressional District election in November, where he will face the winner of the current Democratic primary election between Jamie Chaney and Josh Riley. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
And Alicia Feldstadt is reporting for NBCNews.com that Kraft Heinz announced August 12th it is recalling thousands of cases of Capri Sun, saying the drink pouches might be contaminated with cleaning solution. In a statement, the company said a diluted cleaning solution used on food processing equipment was inadvertently introduced into a production line at one of its factories. Kraft Heinz is recalling about 5,760 cases of the drink, saying the only variety affected was the wild cherry-flavored juice drink blend. Cases contain four cartons, which usually have 10 pouches, meaning more than 230,000 individual drink pouches could have been affected. The best when used by date on the contaminated cases is June 25, 2023. The issue was discovered after customers complained about the taste of the wild cherry Capri Suns. Customers are urged to return the drinks if they think they were tainted with the cleaning solution. Read more about this story at NBCNews.com.
News 10 reports that New York State's Department of Environmental Conservation has expanded a drought watch to most of the state, encouraging residents to conserve water during the coming weeks. The Adirondacks are the only part of the state left out of the drought watch. There are no mandatory restrictions yet, but a further lack of rain could change that. Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, "While recent rains have helped, severe dry conditions continue to persist across the state. New Yorkers should take steps to conserve water whenever possible in the areas now under a designated drought watch. Simple steps to reduce water consumption will be crucial to our efforts to help prevent any increased drought levels," end quote. Officials also warned that wildfire risk is high and to be careful with any outdoor fires. The city of Kingston is under a locally declared drought emergency with unnecessary water usage prohibited. Pittsfield in western Massachusetts announced mandatory water restrictions beginning August 8th, and the village of Catskill is now under a drought emergency ban with no washing cars, sidewalks, watering lawns, or filling swimming pools allowed. And you can read more about this story at the News 10 website.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, scattered showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with the temperature high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, more scattered showers, mainly before 11 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air on Wednesday, August 17th at 90.7 FM. Including on the WGXC Morning Show, we'll hear a preview of upcoming concerts in the area from jazz bassist Luke Stort, Philadelphia-based guitarist Chris Forsyth, and Palinville's florist. At 10 a.m., it's time for the new show from Matthew O'Neill. It's called Panther Mountain Sound, and that's live from Accra. And then at 11 a.m., Mayuka Fujino is live from Accra with her Mirage Station show. Then we go live to Catskill at noon with the Bedazzled Radio Hour after the local news. And at 2 p.m., we go back to Accra for a live broadcast from current Wave Farm artist-in-resident Julian Day. 4 p.m. is time for the WGXC Afternoon Show. This is live from Accra, too. And we hear from Andy French, who's organizing the Deep in the Valley Festival. That's this Saturday, August 20th. And also an interview with Representative Paul Tonko about his re-election efforts. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School from Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. At 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and his Snack Point Charlie show. And at midnight, we're live from Ulster County again with Peter Aaron, simulcast on Radio Kingston, his Go Go Kitty show until 2 a.m. at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
For the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
On Sunday evening at 6 o'clock right here on WGXC. You can tune in to listen to the program La Ville Inhumaine.
The Inhuman City.
On this program you will hear music, found sounds, intentional noise, words,
field recordings.
All together, all at once. Tune in to Live and Humane. Live radio from Hudson, New York. On WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 17th. Tight temperature pattern this morning. We see 57 degrees in Windham and 61 in Ankrum. Soil is at 69 degrees. The temperature climb gets cut off by a cold front today, maxing out at 71 degrees at 11 a.m. At that time, rain chances enter the area and get stronger around 2 p.m., continuing into the night. Temperatures will be cool overnight, bottoming out at 60 degrees, but with the dew point being around 58, it will feel muggy. Tomorrow, rain chances end near dawn, and we will have a moderately cloudy day with a high of 79 at 2 p.m. 57 degrees overnight takes us into a warmer Friday, hitting 86 degrees. Saturday reaches 90 and will also be dry. Pollen levels for today will be medium, hoping the moisture takes a dent out of it. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:01 a.m., high tide at 7:53 a.m., low tide again at 2:15 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:26 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 80 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:41 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:02 a.m. Looking way up, we see Comet C 2017K2 is slowly falling through Earth's orbital plane. Around for the next couple of weeks, it's giving astronomers a rare perspective on the celestial body. So the wind speed is currently 465.1 kilometers per second at 11.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently slowly improving until that CME hits in a day or so, but currently fair below 20 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 119, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. Tonight, what heights we'll hit? On with the show, this is it.
That was Palinville's Florist with June 9th Nighttime from their 2022 album Florist. Today we're going to preview three big shows coming locally, including the Deep in the Valley Festival, Saturday, August 20th. That lineup includes Laraji, Chris Forsyth, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, Jeffrey Alexander and the Heavy Litters, and others. It's at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook on August 20th from 11:30 a.m. till 8 p.m. And it's put on in part by Andy French, WGXC programmer who hosts the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on 90.7 FM. We will also preview legendary jazz bassist Luke Stewart, his performance Sunday, August 21st at Opus 40 in Saugerties. And we'll also preview Palinville's Florist. They have a sold-out show at Tubby's in Kingston on August 26th. So stay tuned to some music coming your way today on WGXC 90.7 FM. We've got the Hudson Valley Sound.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
With this law, the American people won and the special interests lost.
President Biden has signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law, which aims to address high inflation, increase some corporate taxes, allows Medicare to negotiate prescription drug costs, and focuses on climate change. Polls have closed in Alaska, where voters will decide whether to send former governor and Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin to Congress. Palin is among three candidates in a special election for Alaska's sole U.S. House seat. Palin's opponent, Nick Begich, campaigned Tuesday in Wasilla, Palin's hometown.
This isn't Celebrity Apprentice. This is a very serious election. It requires serious thought with serious representation. And someone who's focused on the state of Alaska.
In Wyoming, pro-Trump primary challenger Harriet Hageman is poised to unseat Republican Representative Liz Cheney, one of two Republicans on the House January 6th committee. Cheney spoke after casting her vote in Jackson.
As a country, we're facing very challenging and difficult times. We're facing a moment where our democracy really is under attack and under threat.
The European Union and U.S. are studying Iran's written response to what the EU calls its final proposal to save a 2015 nuclear deal, after Tehran called on Washington to show flexibility. State Department spokesperson Ned Price refused to disclose details at a Tuesday news conference.
It will require some time to digest what has been provided to the EU and in turn what has been provided to us.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is calling for the release of the FBI affidavit used to justify a search of former President Donald Trump's home. Meanwhile, a federal judge denied a bid by the senator to quash a subpoena ordering him to testify before a grand jury about phone calls he made to Georgia's Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger after the 2020 election, allegedly hinting he should throw away ballots from areas where Joe Biden likely received more votes. Republican lawmakers are embracing a new rallying cry to defund the FBI following last week's search of Mar-a-Lago. Sociology professor and coordinator of the Policing and Social Justice Project at Brooklyn College, Alex Vitale.
I think what the right intends here is not to reduce the power of the FBI, but merely to change the leadership so that it is more politically compliant with a far-right agenda.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eight trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we head up to Palinville to tune in Florist. From their 2022 album titled Florist, this is Redbird Part 2 Morning.
There is a winter morning, you didn't know me.
daughter now. It seems to rearrange all the images in my mind. Believe that it happened to me like I was lost, but it happened all the same. And I can hear you singing still, wake up in the morning so the morning comes. Where's it gone now? Where's it gone? I've seen photos of the living room. He didn't have a lot, and the house needed some work done, so you did it all yourself. For feeling a family, a place we could call home now. Home. So comes another year now. Did you ever even think we'd both be back here looking out at this beautiful place, seeing nothing but the glow of memory and a void in our vision where she would be gone? Go on, and the red bird sings its red bird song. It happened to us, and it's happened before, and it happens all the same. I can hear you singing still. Wake up in the morning, let the morning come. Sing me a song, please, sing me a song.
Justin Maiman from the Ginger Radio Hour on WGXC interviewed the band Florist that resides up on the mountaintop in Greene County. And here is an excerpt of that interview. You can hear the full interview. Look up Ginger Radio in the WGXC audio archives online at WGXC.org.
My name is Justin Maiman. This is Ginger Radio Hour. Welcome. You're listening live here on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. I'm here in the studio on this about to be a very hot day. In the background, you hear an instrumental selection from the new album by florist, Catskills-based florist. And this hour, you're going to hear my interview with them that I did a couple weeks ago by Zoom. They were in Palinville. I was in Cairo. And I'm going to interweave into the interview we did this incredible new album they have. Lots of critical raves around it. Pitchfork named it Best New Album, or Best New Music, all the same thing. But I agree, whatever that means. Let me bring this down a little bit. So that was called Bells Part 3. This new album, self-titled, from florist, has 19 tracks, and it's interspersed with instrumentals. The whole thing was recorded in 2019 on the porch and in the house, in a house in Hudson Valley. The band basically camped together for a month in a house and made this incredible piece of music. I don't want to speak too much about the music because I think it speaks for itself, and we'll play a lot of it today. The album came out on Friday. The label is Double Double Whammy. And florist, of course, is made up of Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth. They just began touring. I think they're now in the Midwest. They opened the tour in New York, and then they're heading out west, and they will be back here in Kingston at Tubby's on August 26th. I'll repeat all of that info later. Again, florist, a Catskills-based band. They spoke to me from Palinville. I'm going to weave in and out of this interview. I don't think I actually even need to introduce this first part because you're going to hear my voice again. So here we go. Here's florist.
You've written the definitive soundtrack of the Catskills.
Wow.
Wow.
Full stop.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mic drop.
Thank you.
Damn.
That's pretty huge. Yeah.
So bathe in it. Just enjoy it for a moment.
Wow.
It felt like I was listening to an album that had been made in this place.
Wow. That's perfect. That's amazing. Yeah. It's
great feedback.
How do you do that?
We just made it in this place.
I think it's like there's a huge essence of all of us that is this place. I mean, we're in Palinville right now. We all grew up in the area. Felix here is pretty connected to the area, despite being from the city. And it's kind of like where we all learned, like, who we are and who we are to each other. And music, like, we learned here.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we started the band like a mile away from here, more or less. So, yeah, just a lot of time and a lot of growth.
Yeah, it's a huge part of who we are and what the band is. And we've also always recorded ourselves like in the area in pretty janky little sheds and cottages and stuff. And I think that's, that has always made its way like into the sound. And this was kind of the most fleshed out version of doing that we've ever done, which I think really made its way into the actual sound files.
Right.
And yeah, just like emotionally it's all in there. But definitely wasn't an intention to make it the soundtrack to the place, but it makes sense, I guess.
I mean, we were recording, like, the bulk of the album we were recording in a house together, and we were doing a lot of it on the screened-in porch, doing all different times of day, so you're getting, daytime birds and nighttime, insects and whatnot. So that is really all accidental, more or less. I mean, I think we go into it knowing that that's something we're okay with, but it was not specifically planned in any way. It was sort of just like that's how it ends up. That's how it sounds once, you know, when you're recording on a porch like that. Yeah. So
I think we're the type of people too who like tend to be open to things being like not perfect sounding in a lot of ways that would otherwise maybe be changed or edited. And for us, it's like important at the end of the day that something captures like a vulnerability or just like a trueness to whatever that is, like recording not with the goal of creating like this like sort of perfected, fully fleshed out final track that's gonna translate perfectly everywhere and be very clean and tidy, but to have something that just like is really capturing time and place and feeling. And that was like I think the biggest factor when we were recording. It was very much about being where we were and who we were with each other.
Yeah, it's sort of the opposite approach to like a typical recording studio, which to me is usually a lot more about like removing variables, like taking oneself like outside, like out of the environment. And, you know, even just the architecture of those spaces is like no windows, mm-hmm. like, you know, cloth all over the walls, like the sound is the only thing. And for us, we were just like, well, let's plop all of our, you know, weird old equipment down in this, the most exposed room in the house, and see what we can make here.
Yeah. It seems like that's not that uncommon nowadays for people, but I think it's really just all we've ever done and sort of what we like to do. It's like it's so much. Yeah, it's just like a really, like, it feels good as a process.
Yeah.
So it's just like nature at this point that it's like, oh, we just get to be on a porch and, you know, feel the wind blowing and all these sort of like somewhat kind of obvious things, but it really just feels good.
Yeah.
And when you let your environment and your circumstances lead you, like in your art making practice, I just some like really magical things can happen.
That was Philadelphia's guitar god Chris Forsyth with Tomorrow Might As Well Be Today. Check out the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Find out all sorts of local community events and online presentations and more. Things happening in your community on the radio at WGXC. There's an add an event button there at wgxc.org on the community calendar where you can press that button and then just fill in the blanks and have all the information about your local event on the WGXC community calendar and read on the radio at 90.7 FM and seen around the world at wgxc.org. Events like this weekend, Friday, August 19th at the Dewey Hall in Sheffield in Massachusetts, 4 to 6 p.m. The show is Elizabeth Freeman and the Telling of Black Stories. It's put on by the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Freedom and Democracy, and it's a roundtable discussion of the legacy of Elizabeth Freeman, the first enslaved African-American to successfully sue for her freedom in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's Friday, August 19th at Dewey Hall in Sheffield. Then Saturday, August 20th, the Deep in the Valley Festival, put on in part by Andy French from WGXC's Crawl Out from the Fallout show. Performers include the Raji, Chris Forsyth, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others. It's at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. It's from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, August 20th. Go to ravensingstheblues.com for more information. There's also a Rip Van Winkle workshop Saturday, August 20th at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville. They've got an oral history project for all ages about Rip Van Winkle, and also author Leslie Sharp will read from her book, The Quarry Fox. There'll be live entertainment from the Green Room Players and refreshments by the Rustic Mobile Concession. That's from 1:30 to 4 p.m. at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville. Hudson celebrity Tom Judson is playing piano and popular melodies about the moon Saturday, August 20th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. That's at 7:30 p.m. Then on Sunday, August 21st, the Nekia Ensemble performs at the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale at 3 p.m. And Sunday, August 21st, the same day, Luke Stewart, the legendary jazz bassist, is at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Then later that night on Sunday, August 21st, Zapato and Early Fern perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. That's 7 p.m. And if you can't make it in person, WGXC will have a live web stream at wgxc.org. Turn out in person at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Sunday, August 21st. Find out more about any of these events on the WGXC community calendar, wgxc.org. The Daily Freeman newspaper recently sat down with the two candidates for the special election for New York 19 to fill out Antonio Delgado's final few weeks in office. That's Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Ulster County Democrat and County Executive Pat Ryan. Here is one of those questions.
Mark, as your opponent mentioned, abortion has emerged as a significant issue for voters across the country. You've described yourself as pro-life.
True.
Will you support efforts to pass a federal ban on abortion?
I don't believe that after the Supreme Court decision that the federal government or Congress has much of a role at all. And that is, in fact, the decision of the Supreme Court. I have always said this, and I am personally pro-life. Like most Americans, however, I have accepted that the law has provided access to what is a very sensitive and difficult decision for women. I understand it. My mother brought into this world a child with a severe birth defect. I saw what it looks like to lose your child after birth, and my mother struggled with it every day since. If she had adequate access to neonatal and prenatal care, I don't know what her choice would have been. But I know how difficult it was to try to bring a child into the world with a disability and lose that child early in life. Like most Americans, I accepted that that was the law. The Supreme Court has decided otherwise. But what they did do is require now the states to make those decisions. And in this state, the right to access is basically without limit. Like most Americans, I think there ought to be thoughtful limitations. I do happen to believe that late-term abortion needs to be scaled to the necessity only. I think that we ought to be talking about what we value in life and what we value about life. There is a difference between Pat and me. I believe there ought to be thoughtful limitations. He doesn't, and I understand why. You know, it was a long time ago, Bill Clinton used to say safe, rare, and legal. Today, there just seems to be no willingness to talk about when it is appropriate to respect that emerging life. And I understand that women need to make that decision. And in this state, access will be protected. I do not believe there is a role for Congress under the new Supreme Court, the Dobbs decision. I firmly believe that constitutionally. And I also believe that we as a society need to invest more in prenatal, neonatal, access to contraception. I sponsored over-the-counter Plan B when I was a member of the state assembly and voted for it. I believe that there needs to be support for families who wish to bring individuals' lives with disabilities into the world. I believe there needs to be support for men and families and women who want to adopt. But we should be having a sensitive conversation at this moment. I understand what this does to upend what we thought was the rule of law, what we thought was the law of the land. But in this very moment, I want us to have a serious conversation about how we ensure access, how we ensure care, and how we ensure a conversation about the value of life and what we value in life. And again, that's my view. It's been my view. And I've stated, I'm sorry I didn't state it within the hour and a half the Daily Freeman asked, or 3 hours the Daily Freeman asked. I was in Schoharie County. But I've said it every day since, despite Pat's protestation otherwise.
I just want to follow up on that question, though. So conversely, does that mean that you would also not support the legislation that's pending in Congress now, the Women's Health Protection Act?
I believe, again, that Congress's role and the federal government's role has been severely limited by the Supreme Court decision. And therefore, it is now an issue that returns to the state governments. We may not agree that we like that, but that is the way in which this constitutional democracy functions. And now states make those choices. But I will also say this, and this will be the only time I'll ever quote her, but even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, and I think understandably, that even Congress acting will likely not withstand a Supreme Court challenge because, again, the court has returned this matter to state governments. Only a constitutional amendment might withstand it. And so, again, I think the reality is the role of the federal government is severely limited. The states now have the right to make this determination as a healthcare matter within their states, as the states generally do with healthcare matters. And I think that we ought to ensure that there's support for women in this state who choose to move forward with an abortion. I believe there ought to be support for those who choose to bring life into the world. And as I've said consistently, like most people of this district, I just think there ought to be some thoughtful limitations.
Pat, do you have any comment on that, or do you want to move forward?
I have lots of comments and questions. I mean, unless I missed something, he, again, didn't answer your question, which is your party, the increasingly far-right extremist Republican Party, led by Kevin McCarthy, who endorsed you, and Elise Stefanik, who endorsed you, are loudly, proudly calling for a national ban on abortion. That is on the table, and the only specific answer I've heard that you gave was to the Freeman weeks ago when you said, I will not entertain hypothetical questions. This is not hypothetical. This is real and human and visceral. I cannot tell you the number of times on the campaign trail across this district, in the most rural and suburban parts of this district, people have literally broken into tears in response to fundamental rights being ripped away by your party and the far right Republican Party that is increasingly clearly, looking at Kansas just a few days ago as an example, disconnected from reality on the ground. So one, I'd like to ask, will you specifically oppose that ban?
I just said it, Pat. She asked me, would you oppose a ban? I said, would you vote for a ban? My position is I do not believe the federal government has the right to establish a restriction.
That's not the question. You're getting tricky, as you always try to do.
I don't always try to do it, and it is consistent.
I think that The question is that I asked, was it a yes or no question, Omar?
And I said no. You asked me, would you support a nationwide ban? I said no. I believe that the Supreme Court has limited the authority of the federal government to act. And beyond that, well, it's Pat's time, so I won't step on any more of it. But I've answered that question. And I'm
what's
very
clear here.
What's clear here is that you believe, and by the way, there are extremes on your side of the aisle as well, that believe, by the way, that abortion should be limitless. And if a child happens, if there's an abortion that goes awry, what then? Are you okay, Pat, with no limitations? None? You think that even to the second before delivery, you are okay with abortion? Do you think that there should be at least a moment?
Here's what I think, if you'll let me actually have the time that I've allowed in this discussion.
You asked me a question, I answered it.
Right, and then continue to talk. And here's the thing. What you're saying to millions of Americans is, you have a role. You're going to get in there. You're going to get in there and tell them what decision they should make or not. What I believe, and what I think the vast preponderance of Americans who believe in freedom and privacy as enshrined in our Constitution believe, is that government, especially a bunch of men, have no place in making those decisions. And that is the exact opposite of what, again, the Supreme Court decision just put in place, and what your party and those specific people who you've proudly campaigned with and taken endorsement from stand for. So you got to pick one way or the other. And again,
and I expressed my view. I did.
Okay. You're going to interrupt me again?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported in June and again last week about the widening big lie voting machine tampering conspiracy in Michigan implicating a GOP candidate for attorney general. Now, reporting in the Washington Post suggests the conspiracy may have been coordinated nationally, similar to the fake presidential elector scheme. In Michigan, a special prosecutor